Today's shiur is Masechet Yevamos Daf Nun Zayin. We will begin on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis at the Mishnah. A word of introduction as we begin to learn the Mishnah. We discussed some of these concepts in the previous shiur. The halacha is that marriage, we know, is affected in two steps: erusin and nesuin. Midaraisa and arusa is an eishes ish, and therefore midaraisa, if a woman became an arusa to a kohen, she's entitled to eat truma. But as we discussed in the previous year, the Gemara Masechet Ksubos teaches us that Chazal do not allow her to eat truma when she becomes an arusa for two reasons. One reason is because since she's still living at home, her family are not kohanim, so if her husband, the orus, gives her truma, she'll take it home and she'll share it with her family. Her family is not allowed to eat truma, so Chazal said she shouldn't eat truma. And another reason is Mishum Simpoin, which means that when they ultimately have nesuin, the husband may realize that she has some sort of defect, some sort of a blemish that will have made the entire erusin and nesuin a toss, a mistake. It will be a mekach toss. And therefore Chazal said that a woman, until she has nesuin, should not eat truma. However, there's what's known as the Mishnah Rishayna and the Mishnah Achrayna with an interesting shaila. The first Mishnah and the second Mishnah. What that discusses is as follows. They set a date for the Nesuin. And that date comes and goes, and the Kohen did not do Nesuin. What is the halacha then? Is she still entitled, she's still not entitled to eat Truma? Or, at that point, Chazal waived their restriction? According to the Mishnah Rishayna, when that date comes, they waive the restriction. And as the Gemara explains it in Masechet Ksubos, the explanation goes that once that day comes, even if the Kohen, for whatever reason, didn't do Nesuin, he recognizes that he has responsibilities. So he checks out how carefully that she doesn't have any Mumin. He makes sure that she doesn't live in a family home. She has her own apartment, and therefore she could start eating Truma, even though they did not have Nesuin. The Mishnah Achrayna, on the other hand, which is the final version, holds that no, as we said at the beginning, unless she's a Nesua, she's not allowed to eat Truma. So even if the date passed where she should have been had Nesuin and they didn't, she's still not allowed to eat Truma. Says the Mishnah, Amana Kohen Gadol, an Amana who became an Arusa to Kohen Gadol. So we have here a situation of an Erusin that it's not supposed to take place, and the soon it's not supposed to take place. A Kohen Gadol is not supposed to marry a mana. Grusha v'chalutz l'Kohen Hedyot, or a Kohen Hedyot is not supposed to marry a grusha, mina erusin, so not as only erusin, l'yachl b'truma. So the Tanakama, who we'll see in a moment in the Mishnah, is Rameya, says the following. The halacha is that if a woman who's not supposed to marry a Kohen marries a Kohen, when there's nesuin, she becomes a halala. Since she becomes a halala, she's not allowed to eat truma. So we have the following scenario. This woman is an amana, and she became an arusa to Kohen Gadol. This woman is a grusha, and she became a arusa to a Kohen Hedyot. When the suin will happen, she'll be disqualified from eating truma. And now we have Rashi giving us two explanations of how to understand the Mishnah. So we have a situation of a woman who's waiting for a bias aveira. She's ultimately, if everything goes as planned, going to enter a nesuin, which is illegal. Says Rameya that she's not going, Chazal don't let her eat truma. What are the circumstances? So Rashi has two explanations. One explanation is that this woman is a bas kohen, and halacha is the daughter of a kohen is allowed to eat truma if she doesn't have children who are Yisraelim. So she's a bas kohen. So under normal circumstances, she'd be allowed to eat truma. Tells us Rameya, the Tanakam of our Mishnah, since she's awaiting a bias aveira, Chazal don't let her eat truma. That's the first pshat in Rashi. And that's the pshat that Tosfos actually, and most Rishonim, frankly prefer. The second pshat in Rashi is a little more complicated, and we're saying it because Rashi says that this is the pshat that he prefers, is that she's a Bas Yisrael. A Bas Yisrael, we said that even she was any Bas Yisrael that's a Rusa to a Kohen, we just said in our introductory remarks, is not a Truma. But we said that according to the Mishnah Rishayna, once the date of the Nisuin comes, even though she's only in Arusa, she is allowed to eat Truma. That's what our Mishnah is referring to, says Rashi. She's a Bas Yisrael who's Mureses to a Kohen. The date of the Nisuin comes, according to the Mishnah Rishonim, she's allowed to eat Truma. But it's a Nisuin that's going to be Aser, a Manal Kohen Godel, Grush V'Chalutz L'Kohen Hedget. Says Rameya, that even though normally a woman on this date would be allowed to eat Truma, even though she's only a Mureses, this woman will not be allowed to eat Truma. Why? Says Ramey, because she's Oymed Labias Aveira. That's Ramey's position. It's important to point out, and we'll see this more in tomorrow's shir, that Chalutza really doesn't belong in our Mishnah. Because the Issa of a Chalutza marrying a Kohen Hedget is only an Issa de Rabbanon. And everybody agrees that the subject of our Mishnah is only referring to situations where the Issa to get married is the Issa de Raisa. So as the Rajb explains, so how does Chalutza come into our Mishnah? Since a Chalutza always travels together with a Gerusha, the Mishnah always puts them together, so our Mishnah mentions Chalutza, but that wouldn't really be the halacha by Chalutza. Continues the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, Machshirim. Rabbi Elazar of Shimon hold that even though she's a woman that's Oymed Labias Aveira, right now there was no Bias Aveira. She didn't have Nisuin yet. Therefore the halacha is that she should not have she can still eat Truma. And again, with the two pshatim that we learned, if she's a Bas Koyin, she could continue eating Truma. That's the first pshat of Rashi. And according to the second pshat of Rashi, if the date of the Nisuin comes, we allow her to eat Truma because she didn't have Nisuin and she is more restless to a Koyin. Continues the Mishnah, Nis'amalo in Nisgarsha, men in Nisuin. If actually this prohibited Nisuin was carried out, psulis. So she became permanently disqualified. As I said earlier, if a woman who wasn't supposed to marry a Kohen married a Kohen, she becomes a Halala, and she's permanently disqualified from ever marrying a Kohen, from ever eating Truma. But let's say, Mina Erisin, the marriage was only terminated from the Erisin, so now she never was Nesua to a Kohen that she wasn't supposed to, so she never became a Halala, and then Ksheris. She could go back. And there's, again, the different pshatim that we learned. If she's a Bas Koyin, she could go back to eat Truma, even according to Rameya. And according to the other pshatim, that if she's a Grusha, she could go back to marry. If she's an Almana, she will not become permanently disqualified, and she'll be allowed to marry Koyin Hedget if that is somebody that wants to marry her. There's a very nice diuk from the Rajba in our Mishnah. He says, the beginning of the Mishnah uses the words loyoich lebetruma. The end of the Mishnah uses the word psulois. Why has the Mishnah changed the terminology? So he says, beautiful. He says, at the end of the Mishnah, this woman who was nesua to a kohen that she wasn't supposed to, becomes permanently disqualified. The word pasul reflects a permanent disqualification. The reisha of the Mishnah, even though Rameya holds that right now while she's in Arusa, to a kohen, and she's not supposed to be in Arusa, since she's oymet habiyas aveira, she's not allowed to eat. But let's say that situation will change, so we won't be able to eat. So the Mishnah doesn't use the word pasul, which represents something permanent. It says, lo yoichel betruman, as long as she's in this state, don't eat truma. But ultimately, she may be allowed to eat truma if things change. Tanya, Rameya. So Rameya, who we identified as the Tanakam of our Mishnah, makes the following argument. Kavachoymer. And here we have again our two pshatim and understanding the Mishnah and the Gemara. According to the pshat that our Mishnah is referring to a Bas Koyin, Rameya's argument is gewaldic. The halacha is like this. What would happen if you have a woman who's a Bas Koyin and she becomes more restless to a Bas Yisrael, to Yisrael? Even though Rabbanan said that L'chumra, that Bas Yisrael, who becomes Mureses to a Kohen, may not eat Truma for the various concerns, but Rabbanan can't be Mekel on what it says in the Torah. So this girl who was eating Truma her whole life, the moment she becomes Mureses to Yisrael, may no longer eat Truma. So Cezra made the following argument. Kavachoymer, Oma Kedusha Rishus, where a Bas Kohen that Mureses to Yisrael, Eimachilin, she has to stop eating Truma. Kedusha Aveira, where in our Mishnah, the girl, and there's nothing wrong with that marriage, it's a perfectly fine marriage. In our Mishnah, where there's an Aveira, where this Amana came and molested to a Kohen Gadol, this Grusha became molested to a Kohen Hagid, like Koshkein, that she should not be allowed to eat Truma. That's how the first Pshat in Rashi learns the Gemara. The second Pshat in the Rashi learns like this. Simpler, but harder to understand. If a Yisrael becomes molested to Yisrael, certainly she doesn't eat Truma. They're both Yisraelim, but there's nothing wrong with that marriage. So if in that situation they don't eat Truma, certainly in a situation where there's an Aveira, where this Grusha, Amona getting molested, certainly they should not be allowed to eat Truma. So they said to him, your argument is fundamentally flawed. Yes, there is no Aveira. But who did she get married to? Who did she become molested to? To a Yisrael. A Yisrael has never the ability to give his wife Truma. Time of the Kedusha Aveira. In the Mishnah's case, yes, these particular women are not supposed to be married to a Kohen. But if he would marry a woman that he's allowed to, she can yesh lo lahachel b'makom acher. So he can't compare the two situations where the husband is Yisrael that never has the ability to give truma versus where the husband is a kohen that he has the ability to give truma. Says the Gemara, a new situation. Amar b'leza amar b'oisha. Tzur daka kohen shekiddush bas Yisrael. The halach is like this. The pasuk says, a very important pasuk that we're going to be working with for the next amid, Loyova b'tzua daka b'kal Hashem. And a person became sterile. We're now learning the sugya today under what circumstances. He's not allowed to marry Kahal Hashem. A b'tzua daka koyin, and doesn't make a difference if he's a koyin or not. A b'tzua daka is not allowed to marry, a Jewish girl is not allowed to marry b'tzua daka. If let's say a koyin who's b'tzua daka married a Bas Yisrael, what would be the halacha? So Rabbi Oishi says, first glance, it's the machlokes of Meir and now Mishnah versus Rabbi Elazar Shimon. The Am Mishtameres Lo Bi Psula, the Rice Lo Yachla. According to Meir and now Mishnah, that anybody who's awaiting a Bias Isser is not supposed to have Truma Hanami Lo Yachla. This girl cannot ultimately consummate a marriage with the Betzur Daka because it's an Isser. The Rabbi Elazar Shimon, who in our Mishnah taught us the Amri Mishtameres Lo Bi Psula, the Rice Achla, that even though the Nesuin will represent an Aveira, that doesn't prevent her from eating Truma. Hanami, this woman too, even though when they'll have Nesuin, and she's not supposed to have Nesuin or Betzur Daka, but until then, Achla, she should be allowed to eat. And again, with the explanations of Rashi, either she's a Bas Kohen or the date of the Erisin came. Ask the Gemara, Mamai, who says that the circumstances described in our Mishnah are the same as the circumstances of this case? Dilma, at Kan Lerukam Rabbi Elazar of Shimon Hossam, you know why Rabbi Elazar of Shimon were makel in our Mishnah and said that even though this woman is awaiting a Bias Aveira, we don't have a concern. Yes, this Amona who married the Kohen Gadol, this Grusha that married the Kohen Hedjit is an illegal marriage. But there's not, the Kohen Hedjit can marry many other women. The Kohen Gadol can marry many other women. That's why Rabbi Elazar of Shimon don't want to say that he doesn't have the ability to give a Tichuma. Aval Hocha, this person is a Ptzua Daka. A Ptzua Daka can't marry anyone. Deilo La'achav HaMokamachar, he has no wife that he could give Tchuma to. Maybe they will agree that this marriage will not give her the ability to eat truma. V'chi teima, if you'll say, hachanam yesh lo lahachal baskerim, why are we making it so simple that a b'tzur daka can't marry anyone? Maybe he can marry baskerim, because as we're going to learn at length soon, the pasuk regarding the b'tzur daka's prohibition to marry says, lo yova b'tzur daka b'kahal Hashem. So only people who are considered part of the Kahal Hashem may not marry Ptzua Daka. And as we're going to learn soon, there's an argument that Gerim and Bas Gerim are not considered Kahal Hashem. And therefore, he has somebody he can marry. Says the Mar, you can't make that assumption. Because as we're going to learn soon, the Mabai Bailei Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Isha, Rabbi Yochanan actually asked the question of Isha, may a Ptzua Daka Koyin marry a Bas Gerim? V'lei Pashtlei. So where are we going to say is the halacha of Btzu Daka Koyin marrying a Bas Yisrael? What will be the halacha? Itmar Abaya Amar says Abaya, there is a situation where he can give a wife to Truma. The Gemara Mitzvah Shem is going to discuss such a situation. You have a gentleman, a Kayin, who married a woman. He was Baruch Hashem healthy. So he marries a woman, and there was nothing wrong with that marriage. She's allowed to eat truma. Rechman al-Tzlan, he becomes a Tzudaka while they're married. So once he has relations with her, she can't eat truma. She becomes, Rashi says a chalola, but most Rishonim say she becomes a zayna, because she wasn't supposed to live with him. He's a Tzudaka. But let's say they're married, and they don't have relations. So she was eating till now, and she could continue eating. So here we have a situation. What are we searching for? We're searching for a situation where a Betsua Daka Kayan can give his wife tea truma. We just identified a situation where he was married prior to being a Betsua Daka, and he became a Betsua Daka and never had relations afterwards with her. Rav Oma. Rav gives a different situation where a Betsua Daka Kayan to give people the ability to eat truma. He maybe can't get married. He maybe can't give a wife to eat, but he could give his servants to eat. The halach is that the servants that have a kanani of a kohen also eat truma. So what was your argument? That a betzua daka is different. Because a betzua daka never has the ability to give anyone to eat truma. We just identified situations that he does have the ability. One is the wife that didn't have relations with him, and one is the avodim. So now the Gemara asks the obvious question. Why didn't Abaye like Rava's Svara, and why didn't Rava like Abaye's Svara? Says the Gemara, Abaye like Amaka Rava. Abaye didn't articulate the Svara that Rava articulate, because Kinyan the Ishis, Mekinyan the Ishis Yapinan, Varay Yapinan, Kinyan the Ishis, Mekinyan the Avodim. What was Rava's proof? He was saying that since we see the Betsu Daka gives his avodim to eat, so that's why he could give his wife the Arusa to eat. So it says, this is talking about avodim. This is talking about a wife. How do you compare avodim to a wife? And Rabbi Chanan, in the Kibbutz Aretz, has a beautiful explanation to what the Gemara says. And it's a very fundamental explanation. He says, there are different people who have a relationship with a kohen that are allowed to eat truma. There's a wife, as we're discussing, and there's avodim. But the relationship, even though the halacha, the bottom line is the same, they come from very different places. The avodim are the kohen's property. And I saw a beautiful pshat. You know why a kohen is allowed to give his avodim to eat truma? Mefarshim explained. Why did Torah give kohen truma? Because he doesn't have income, he doesn't have property in Eretz Yisrael, so we have to give him truma. If he's going to have to feed his avodim and not have the ability to give them the truma, what have we accomplished? So because he owns the avodim, therefore the Torah gives him the right to give the avodim. But a husband doesn't own a wife. The right of a wife of a kohen to eat truma comes because she has a status. She falls into the category of an eishes kohen. So that's why the Gemara Abaye, says Rabbi Chanan, argues very successfully, you can't learn the din of a wife from the din of an eved. They're totally two separate categories. What was Abaye's suggestion? That we find that a Betsua Daka has the ability to give a wife to eat when they got married before and they never had relations after they became a Betsua Daka? Because there is a special situation. Shani Hosom Shekvar Ochla. There it's different because she already ate before. So it's just a continuation. But we haven't identified a situation that he was a Betsua Daka and she never ate and she could, and she should be able to eat. Vabaya. And Abaye says, this concept that you want to make and say that that's why that situation is different, because shekvar ochlo, lo yamrinan. That's not a legitimate concept in halacha. What's his proof? Diloy taimahachi, if we're going to say shekvar ochlo, the fact that she once ate gives her the ability to continue eating. So let's talk about this following situation. Bas Yisrael shenisus l'kayim. We have a Bas Yisrael, everything, a perfectly fine marriage. The Kayan is a good Kayan, the Bas Yisrael is a good Bas Yisrael, and they got married. And she's allowed to eat truma, certainly. And miss. And he dies without children. Teichel? Is there any suggestion that she could continue eating truma with the concept of Kfar Ochla? So you see that Kfar Ochla is not a legitimate concept. Because if Kfar Ochla is a legitimate concept, how does she continue eating? Rava says, You can't bring a proof from that situation because Rava does subscribe to the concept of Kfar Achlo because Hasam Paka Kinyana. When he dies, the marriage ends. Hacha, in the case that we described, that she got married, and then he became a Tzudaka, like Paka Kinyana. The Kedushin didn't end, the marriage didn't terminate, he's not have relations with her, but it didn't terminate the relationship, and that's why Kfar Achla is relevant. So I saw the Rishonim, the Ritva asks a Gvaldig Akasha. He could come up with another situation of Kfar Achla. What would be the halacha of a Bas Koyim got mureses to a Ptsuadaka? So till now she's eating because of her father. And now she became mureses to Ptsuadaka. And Al Gemara, Rav is trying to say Kfar Achla. If she ate previously, she could continue eating. So why doesn't she continue eating? Why does the Gemara say that situation, she should be allowed to continue eating? So again, the Ritva, and this is the way Rav David Pavarsky explains the Ritva, beautiful, takes the same concept that we said a minute ago from Bilchanim. There are two separate categories. There's a category of a Bas Koyin, there's a category of an Eishes Koyin. Yes, the bottom line is the same. A Bas Koyin eats Truma. An Eishes Koyin eats Truma. But they don't come from the same place. A Bas Koyin is because that's who her father is. Eishes Koyin is that's because her husband is. Two different categories. And we can't say Kfar Achla from a Bas Koyin to an Eishes Koyin because it's totally two different categories. So as the Gemara said, Gufa. We will now discuss the following Shaila. Dominar of Yochanan Rabbeisha. Tzuadaka Koyin Shanissa Bas Gerim. A Tzuadaka was a Koyin that got married to a Bas Gerim. Mash Yechlan of a Truma. Will he be allowed to give her to eat truma? Ishtik v'loy amalai midi. So Rabbi Yochanan asks Rabbi Oishia this question, and he doesn't respond. L'soif osu gabu rabba achrina. Now another important person comes to Rabbi Oishia. Bramine mosachrita. And he asks Rabbi Oishia a different question, or pashatlai. And he does answer the question. Who was this great person that came with another question? Rish Lakish. Mana Rish Lakish. So now, Amal Rabbi Yehuda Nesila Rabbi Oishia. Rabbi Yehuda Nesila asks Rabbi Oishia, Otter Rabbi Yochanan Lav Gavu Rabbahu? I don't understand what's going on. And Aruch Hanner explains this Gemara so very beautifully. Rabbi Yochanan comes to Rabbi Oishia and asks a question. Rabbi Oishia doesn't respond. So Rabbi Yehuda and the other people sitting there say, you know why Rabbi Oishia is not responding? Because there's a klal, there's a rule. The rule is, Rav Ki Osa B'Hai Masechta Lo Tishal Lo B'Masechta Achrita. If somebody's learning Masechta Yevamos, don't come with a question in Masechta Bava Kama. So therefore, Rabbi Oishia, they thought, wasn't answering Rabbi Yochanan's question, because he was asking a question in a sugya, in a subject, that Rabbi Oishia wasn't learning. Fine. But now comes Rish Lakish, and also asks a question about a sugya that Rabbi Oishia is not learning. And Rabbi Oishia does answer. So obviously, he doesn't have a problem answering questions that are not in the subject that he's learning. So now Rabbi Yehuda asks Rabbi Oishia a very good question. Why did you ignore Rabbi Yochanan and not ignore Rish Lakish? Isn't Rabbi Yochanan also a great person? Amalei. So Rabbi Oishia answers an honest answer. The Kabbalim and the Milsa, the Wesley Pasri. It's not that I ignored him. I didn't have an answer. That's why I didn't answer. So Rabbeinu Tam uses this Gemara, nothing to get to the sugi, but it's a nice Taisvis. Rabbeinu Tam and Taisvis uses this Gemara to teach us a very interesting historical fact. We know, the Gemara says, the Rish Lakish was a listam, was a bandit. Rabbi Yochanan found him, and he convinced him to start learning, and became a Talmud Chacham. But there's a question, what was that Rish Lakish's history, or was Rish Lakish's history really different? The first he was a Talmud Chacham, then he went off to be abandoned, and then he came back to do tshuva. Says Taisus from Al Gemara, we see that Rish Lakish was originally Talmud Chacham, because Rish Lakish and Rabbi Oishia lived much earlier. So it must have been that Rish Lakish in this Gemara was before he became abandoned, asking Rabbi Oishia Shaila. Then he became abandoned, and then Rabbi Yochanan got him to come back. So Rish Lakish was a Shanu Pirish, according to this. So now the Gemara goes back to our question. What is the question? Is a Kayan who is a Batsuadaka allowed to marry a Baskerim and give her to eat Truma? So he says, Leman, according to whom are you asking this question? Either of Yehuda, if you're asking the question according to Yehuda's opinion, according to Yehuda, Bein B'Kudushas Kai, Bein La B'Kudushas Kai, whether a Batsuadaka is considered a kohen and is not allowed to marry a geyrus, or because the halacha is a kohen is not allowed to marry a geyrus, or whether he's not b'kedushasoi and he is allowed to marry a geyrus, lo yachla. His wife would not be allowed to eat the truma. Because let's analyze it. If he is considered a kohen who's not allowed to marry a geyrus, lo yachla, then this wife can't eat. That if she's the daughter of Gerim, she has the status of a chalala. And this person who's a kohen is not allowed to marry a chalala. On the other hand, if you'll say that he's not considered a kohen, and therefore he is allowed to marry a geyrus, still, the halacha is, and there's a question, and we're going to discuss this more, what is the status of Gerim? Are they considered Kahal Hashem, or are they not considered Kahal Hashem? Rabbi Yehuda clearly calls them Kahal Hashem. So this gentleman is a Ptuah Daka. So this Geyrus can't marry her, can't marry him, because a Geyrus is Kahal Hashem, can't marry Ptuah Daka. So no matter how you look at this relationship, they can't get married. If he's considered a Kayan, which is Rabbi Yehuda's position, then he can't marry her because of Baskerim is considered a Chalola. Furthermore, a Geyrus is not allowed to marry a Ptuah Daka. So no matter how you look at it, they can't get married, and certainly he doesn't have the ability to give a Tetruma. And as Tosfos asks, once the Gemara says that she's considered a Chalola, what's the question? A Chalola is not allowed to eat Truma. So if Aaron answers Gevaldig Gater, it's Brian Cutler, he says like this, a Chalola is only considered a Chalola when the Isser of a Chalola only comes into effect when she has relations with her husband. Here we're talking that they only became Uresas, so they didn't have relations. So the fact that she's a Chalola is not enough of a reason that she shouldn't eat Truma. What is the reason she doesn't eat Truma? As the Gemara explains, either he's a Kohen so he can't marry a Geyrus, or because she's Kahal Hashem and she can't marry Ptuah Daka. And on the other hand, Vila Rav Yossi, on the other hand, if you're saying that the question is going to Rav Yossi, it's also not a question. Because Bein B'Kudushasei Koi, whether we consider him a Koyin, Bein La B'Kudushasei Koi, and whether you would not consider him a Koyin, Achla, she would be allowed to eat. And the Gemara explains why. B'Kudushasei Koi, even if we consider him a Koyin, Achla, she could still eat. Dorma Mar Afger Shinosa Giyos, B'Tik Sher L'Kahuna. The halacha is a Bas Gerim, according to Rav Yossi, even though a Koyin cannot marry a Geyrus, the daughter of Gerim, he can marry. So she's the daughter of Gerim. She's not the Geyrus herself, so she can marry him. If on the other hand we're going to say he's not a Kohen, still, this woman can marry her, marry him. Dohama, Rabbi Yossi is the man that holds Kal Gerim like a Kohen. The Gerim are not considered Kal Hashem, and they can always marry Ptuah Daka. So again, no matter how we look at it, this marriage is fine. If he's a Kohen, a Kohen can marry Bas Gerim. If he's not a Kohen, she can marry him because a Geyrus is not considered Kal Hashem, and a Geyrus can marry Ptuah Daka. Ella, so according to whom do we have a Shaila? Says Gemara, I'll leave the High Tana. The Tanan, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Oimer, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, Isha Bas Gerim lo tinasu l'kahuna, a woman who's a daughter of Gerim cannot marry Kohen achtayim im Yisrael. So what Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is saying is that we have to look what is her status. If both of her parents are Gerim, then she's considered a Geyrus, and she can't marry a Kohen. But if her mother is a Kohen, her mother's not a Ger, she's a Yisraelis, and like Rashi points out, and certainly if her father is a Yisrael, because by Yichus, we follow the father's side, just to review what we learned at the beginning of Masechta. To determine if she's Jewish or not, we look at her mother. But to determine what a Yichus is, we look at her father. So certainly if either parent is a Yisrael, she's allowed to marry a Kohen. Now the question is, how do we analyze what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says? When we say that if she has a Jewish parent, what does that mean? Kashis Matosaba, that she's allowed to marry a Kohen, and if she marries a Kohen, she'll be allowed to eat Truma. Or Dilma, perhaps it even tells us more. Kedusha Matosaba. That means even though normally Gerim are not considered Kal Hashem, maybe that's only a Gerim himself, or a person who both of our parents are Gerim. But what is the status of a woman who one of her parents is a Yisrael? They were saying certainly may marry a Kohen. What does that mean? Does that mean also she's considered Kal Hashem and may not marry a Betzur Daka? Or Dilma, do we say Kashish Matosuba, only that she can marry Kain happens here? Or Dilma Kadushi Matosuba, and she's considered full-fledged Yisraelis, she's considered full-fledged Kal Hashem V'loy Ochla. That is the question of Oshiad. And as Tosfos and Rashi explain, that was the question that the Gemara wasn't sure on top of the Omid, what is her status? That's the case that we're talking about. The Betzur Daka married a Baskerim. Is that considered a legitimate marriage? And she can eat Truma or not? And like the Ritva says, what's the question? Maybe Rabbi Oisha holds like Rabbi Yossi. And according to Rabbi Yossi, she's certainly allowed to eat. So Ritva says a beautiful pshat. We learned Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we always follow Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's pshat, psak, because he's kavanoki. So that's why he asked the question according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Toshma, ki yosar v'acha b'chinina, medroima, osar v'aysa m'snisa b'yodai. How do we know that if the woman has one parent who's Jewish, she could still marry Betzur Daka, and if he's a Kohen, machil b'truma, shenemar v'kohen ki yiknek nefesh kinyan kaspoi, yoichel boy, they could continue eating truma. Now the Gemara analyzes, according to whom was this b'raisa said? Leman, ilaim Rabbi Yehuda. You can't say that this price represents Rabbi Yehuda's position. Because as we said a moment ago, Homer, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Bein B'Kedush Shossi Koi, Bein La B'Kedush Shossi Koi, under all circumstances, the Koyin, if he married a Bas Gerim, Loach Lashi would not be able to eat Truma. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Yossi, Ila Rabbi Yossi Lomali Kra, Rabbi Yossi, as we analyzed, holds, Bein B'Kedush Shossi Koi, Bein La B'Kedush Shossi Koi, under all circumstances, Ochla, she is allowed to eat Truma. El Alaf, it's going according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And what the Brice is teaching us is that even though a Kohen, a Betzur Daka, is allowed to marry a Bas Gerim, that doesn't give her the status of Kal Hashem. And she's still allowed to marry a Betzur Daka. So we have a situation where we have a Kohen who's a Betzur Daka and is allowed to marry someone. He's allowed to marry a Bas Gerim. Because Kashrus of Tosfos Bar, only that she be allowed to marry a Kohen happened, but not Kal Hashem, and that's why V'Ochla. So according to the Maskonas HaGemara, and this is what it says in Shulchan Aruch, it's clear that a Kohen is allowed to marry a Bas Gerim. And a Kohen Betzur Daka is allowed to marry a Bas Gerim. And she's certainly allowed to marry a Geyoris. But we know, as we said at the beginning of today's shiur, that there are different people that a Kohen is not allowed to marry. A Geyoris is one, and we're clearly saying that that doesn't apply to a Kohen Betzur Daka. What would be the halacha of a Betzur Daka marrying a Grusha? Do we say that a Kohen Betzur Daka loses his status of Kohen completely, and just like he's allowed to marry a Geyoris, he can marry a Grusha? Or do we not say that, and a Geyoris he's allowed to marry, but a Grusha he would not be allowed to marry? So it's actually a Machloikis of the Chalkas Machloikik and the Beis Shmuel. The Chalkas Machloikik says a Kohen Betzur Daka not only is allowed to marry a Geyoris, but he can even marry a Grusha in the circumstances he's allowed to get married. Let's say Grusha Geyoris. The Beis Shmuel disagrees and says a Geyoris he's allowed to marry, but he's not allowed to marry Grusha. He doesn't completely lose his status of Kahuna. And actually, the Machloikis of the Chalkas Machloikik in the Beis Shmuel is even deeper, as many Achroidim, the Karen Oyer, explain. Because when the Chalkas Machloikik says that this Petzur Daka Koyin loses his Kedusha, and he's allowed to marry Grusha, how far do we take it? Would he be allowed to go to Basic Forest? Do we say that he's completely not a Kohen? Would he be allowed to be Duchen? The Beis Shmuel clearly says that he's a Kohen. Just like he's not allowed to marry Grusha, he's also not allowed to go to Duchen, and he's not allowed to become Tomei. The question is, how far does the Beis Shmuel go? There's actually Machloik is how far to take the Beis Shmuel's position. Itmar. Rav Omar, Yesh Chupal Apsulais, the Shmuel Omar Ein Chupal Apsulais. So as Rashi explains, our Gemara refers to the following situation. A Kohen Gadol married an Almana, who's a Bas Kohen. But he didn't have Kedushin, he had Chuppah with her. And the question is, how effective is that Chuppah? And Rav says, Sheish Chuppah, once they had such a strong banned that they had a chuppah, even though they didn't have kedushin, that's considered that they had a relationship that's inappropriate, because she's a bas, she's an amana to kohen gadol, or she's a grusha to kohen hedyot, and even though she's a bas kohen, she would not be allowed to eat tshum anymore. For Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, ein chuppah l'psulos. Just because they had a chuppah, doesn't mean that they have such a strong band that she should become disqualified to eat tshuma if she's a bas kohen. So, the Mefarshim used this Gemara to discuss something that's something that we all see all the time. But what does chuppah mean? The halacha talks all the time about chuppah. What exactly is a chuppah? So the Rama says two parts to chuppah. One is that we all know. The chuppah is that they have the chuppah, the canopy, and the chasen and kala are under that canopy. And that's chuppah. And then, he says, and they eat together. They have to be together and eat in the chasen's room. And the Paiskim say, therefore, and we try, most people try to do all the different explanation that the Rishonim give on what a chuppah is, we try to fulfill all of their explanations. That's why we have the chuppah under a canopy, and then the chasen and kala go into what's known as the yichud room, and they have yichud, because according to the Ran, chuppah means yichud, that the chasen and kala are in a room for themselves, for the amount of time they could do bia. But also, according to the Rama, two more things should happen. That room should belong to the chassan, because the chassan takes the kala into his room, and that's why the Misadri Kedushin, that know of this, arranged that they should, that the caterer who owns the hall should give ownership of the room to the chassan, and they should eat in the room. They have to eat, because he's taken to that room and eat together. There's another minig, there's one more minig that everybody also does, that some say chuppah refers to when the kala has what we know as the bedekum. When they cover the kala with the veil, that's considered chuppah. There is one more minig that's also brought down, that not everybody does, only in certain communities. The chasen and kala should be not under one canopy, but they should be under one talus. They should be wrapped together in one talus. There's actually a very strong remez for this in the Torah, because the pasuk that says ki kachish isha, and then it says gedilim tasalcha. So the pasuk of getting married and the pasuk of tzitzis are right next to each other. So we see that when they get married, they're under one talus. This is not a minute. This is a minute not everybody follows. It's also interesting to note that the word chuppah is the same gematria as eslach, to be forgiven. That's the makar, that when a chas and a kala go under the chuppah, eslach, they're forgiven for all their averes. So here we have, back to our sugya, if there was a chuppah of inappropriate marriage, the bas kohen, who's an almana to a kohen gadol, the bas kohen, who's a grusha to a kohen hedyot, Rav says that disqualifies her from eating truma, and Shmuel says it doesn't. Amar Shmuel, however, Shmuel makes the following comment, Umaydali Abba, Rav agrees to me, and here Tosfos goes into a discussion, how do we understand the word Abba? Is Abba Rav's name? And given that Shmuel and Rav were colleagues, Shmuel called Rav by his first name Abba, or is Abba not really Rav's name, but Abba is a title of honor, a great person, and Shmuel, out of respect to Rav, called him Abba? Rav will agree that b'tanokas b'chusim b'ashal shana v'yamechot, that if this girl who goes to the chuppah is less than 3 years old, however ein la bia, since the halacha does not recognize bia of a girl that's less than 3 years old, as the Gemara says many times in Masechta Ksuba specifically, that if a girl who's less than 3 years old had relations, she still remains a basura. So if she underwent a chuppah, it also means nothing. And even Rav will agree that if such a girl had a chuppah with somebody she's not supposed to have, it will not affect her status of being allowed to eat truma. Amarava, afanan namitanina. The Braisa proves that the bia, and therefore since chuppah, this way Rashi learns the Gemara, is equal to bia of a girl that's less than 3 years old, really is not that meaningful. Because the Braisa says, Bas shal shana v'yamechot, if you have a girl who's 3 years old or older, miskadesh v'biyah, she'd have kedushin with a biyah. V'mbala yavam, if she forced to yibam, kana, she becomes the yavam's wife. V'chayavan alam mishim eishes ish, and if she's married to someone and another person has relations with her, it's considered that he had relations with an eishes ish. U'metamis bayala letamim mishkif tachtun ke'elyon. Let's just speak about this for a moment. We just discussed in the previous shiur that a nida is tamei, maybe even two shiurim ago, that a nida is tamei, and not only is a nida tamei, but if a person, if a man has relations with a nida, he becomes tamei. However, there's one difference. The halacha is that if a nida sits on a bed, and there are 10 layers under her, 10 mattresses under her, so all of the mattresses become an av hatumah. An av hatumah is a very high level of tumah. It can be matama, adam, v'kelim, and food and everything. A person, a man who had relations with a nida, also has a high level of tumah, that all of the, if he sits on a bed, and there are 10 layers under him, 10 mattresses, sheets, blankets, whatever, under him, all of them become tamei, but they're only a rishon l'tumah. But when those halachas apply, if she's a girl who's over 3 years old, that's when a girl who's over 3 years old, who's a nida, it's considered that he had relations with a girl who's a nida. Nusus l'kayin, and furthermore, if a girl who's over 3 years old became the suwa to a kayin, achelus b'truma, she could eat truma. Ba'ala echem mikol psulim, if she had relations with somebody that she's not allowed to, a mamzer, etc., she becomes pasla. She becomes permanently disqualified to marry a kohen. Ask Taisus, the Ban Taisus and the Amid, interesting question. As we started today's shiur, we begin the shiur and we end the shiur the same way. Once there's nesun with a kohen, she can always eat truma. So why this girl who had nesun to the kohen, really we said midaraisa erusin, she give a truma? But as we explained, there are reasons that we don't allow. But here she had nesun. So why, if she had nesun, are we still with a kohen not allowing her to eat truma? So Taisa says, when you're dealing with a girl who's so young, she's below three years old, all the concerns we have by an arusa, we have by her. What were the concerns by arusa? That he'll find that she has a blemish. When she's so young, he may discover, as she matures, that she has a defect. The concern is that she's going to go back to her parents' home and give them to eat truma, and they're not just kehanim de Yisraelim. That concern is certainly by a girl who's so young, she's going to go back home. What do we see? Bashal Shanam V'yam Echad, only a girl who's 3 years old and older. Who the Mifsla B'biya? And that's why Mifsla B'chuppah, because they're saying that Chuppah, Rav, gives it the same din as B'ya. Ha'pchusim Bashal Shanam V'yam Echad. The Loi Mifsla B'biya that we're explaining now, Ha'biya is meaningless. Similarly, Loi Mifsla B'chuppah, Ha'chuppah is also meaningless. We just end the shiur with a very interesting shaila that the Lechem Mishnah asks. There seems to be a contradiction in the Rambam. The Rambam is the man, the Omer, that holds, famous Rambam, that a chuppas nida is not an effective chuppah. That's why he says that a kalu is a nida, there's a question if you can make kedushin on her. Yet the Rambam holds, why? Because you're not supposed to have relations with her. Yet the Rambam holds, yesh chuppah l'psulis, that a chuppah to a person, a monol kain gadol, grushal kain hedyet, is considered a chuppah. So the Rechach Mishnah says, why by a nida is it not considered a chuppah? And why by a monol kain gadol, grushal kain hedyet, is it considered effective? So Rechach Mishnah says a beautiful teretz. The person that married a nida, right? That person knew that he could marry her, the heter, when she's not going to be a nida. And therefore, and when he married her when she's a nida, he did the wrong thing. He should wait till she's after a nida. So that's why Chazal said that a chuppah is not effective. This person who's marrying the almana, the kohen gadol who's marrying the almana, the kohen hedyet that's marrying the grusha, it's not going to get any better. There's never going to be a time in her life that he's allowed to marry her. So that's why there's a difference. And by a nida, the chuppah is not effective. Wait till she's not a nida. By her, there's no time to wait for. And therefore, we assume that he's completely wants to make the chuppah, even though he shouldn't, and the chuppah is effective.